This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. We'll begin our hour of old-time radio crime with the case of the Vanishing Weapon. This episode from Nick Carter, Master Detective, aired September 18th, 1949. After that, it's Crime Club and Serenade Macabre, their story from July 24th, 1947.
New wonderful Old Dutch Cleanser, the only cleanser made with activated seismotite, invites you to stand by for Nick Carter, Master Detective. Today's Nick Carter adventure starring Lon Clark, The Case of the Vanishing Weapon.
I, Dorothy, take thee, Wayne, to my lawful wedded husband, to love, honor, and cherish.
Wayne, darling, please, let's move back from the edge. High places always frighten me, and I... Wayne, no! Don't, Wayne! Don't!
I, Emily, take thee, Wayne, to my lawful wedded husband, to love, honor, and...
Don't keep swimming away from me, Wayne. Help me. You know I can't swim. Please, please.
Now, Nick Carter and the Case of the Vanishing Weapon, brought to you by new, wonderful Old Dutch Cleanser. It's 4:20 in the afternoon of an extremely warm day. Driving back to the city, Nick and Patsy meet a car rushing toward them at top speed on the left side of the road.
Get over, you idiot!
Nick, it's a woman. She's gonna hit us. Nick, she ran right into it.
I couldn't get out of her way because of that fence. But at least we avoided a head-on collision. Oh. She only struck the back end of the car.
Well, I wonder if she's hurt.
Come on, let's see.
Yeah. Oh, Nick, she caromed off your car right smack into that tree.
She must have been ill. I saw her just before we crashed, slumped over the wheel.
There she is. Oh, Nick, she was thrown to the windshield.
Yeah. She's in pretty bad shape. Oh. Seems to be conscious, though.
I can't die.
Can you hear me?
I can't.
You're not going to die. You're going to be all right.
He'll marry again. He'll kill his next wife, too.
What did you say?
For the insurance. I know it. I found out too late. I can't die. If I do, he'll do it again. He'll marry again. Again.
Oh, please, don't think about it now.
Dead.
Oh, Nick, she wasn't delirious. She knew what she was saying. Do you think her husband really killed her?
I don't know, Patsy. But I'm going to make it my business to find out.
In just a moment, we'll return to The Case of the Vanishing Weapon, today's adventure with Nick Carter. Yours, a thrilling new cleaning discovery. Yes, to give you faster, easier cleaning than any other cleanser, we've activated seismotite in Old Dutch Cleanser. When there's a sink to clean, a touch of Old Dutch Cleanser works dazzling magic. Just see new sudsing Old Dutch Cleanser go to work. It dissolves grease on contact. Quickly, easily, its sudsing action sweeps away dirt and stains. Snowy white Old Dutch Cleanser cleans fast, safe, sure. Leaves no gritty sediment, rinses away completely, doesn't clog drains. Get two cans of Old Dutch Cleanser, one for the kitchen, one for the bathroom. Old Dutch Cleanser, the only cleanser made with activated seismotite. Now, back to The Case of the Vanishing Weapon. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new, wonderful Old Dutch Cleanser. It is a short time later. Nick and Patsy are talking with the chief of police of Elm City, the town the dead woman lived in.
Well, that's the story, Chief. I've given you her exact words.
I've known Kay Bolton since she was a little girl.
Well, do you know her husband, too?
Sure. He came here from out west someplace, I understand.
They've been married long?
About a year, I guess.
I see.
Kay was a widow with a good farm, a little money in the bank. I guess Bolton knowed a good thing when he seen it, and he just swept her right off her feet.
What did her family think about it?
She don't have no family except a brother, and he was away at the time. You see, he builds bridges.
I see. Hey, Chief, did you notice that the windows in Mrs. Bolton's car were all shut up tight?
A day like this, it must have been sweltering in there.
Yeah, it would be. Well, Kay had hay fever kind of bad. I heard her say many times she'd rather roast than sneeze her head off from the pollen in the air.
Yes, but that's no reason to have the heater on.
The heater?
Yeah. When I examined the wreck, I noticed that the heater was on full blast.
Nick, you said she was slumped over the wheel as though she were unconscious just before the collision.
Yeah?
Maybe she passed out from the heat.
Well, now, that don't make sense, Miss Bowen. If it was that bad, seems like even Kay would stop and cool off, hay fever or no.
I'd think she would. But suppose she were unconscious from carbon monoxide fumes or something.
Huh? You mean Bolton might have done something to the exhaust pipe so them fumes go inside?
Maybe.
But she wasn't unconscious when you got to her?
No. But the shock of the wreck could have snapped her out of it.
Well...
Look, Chief, suppose we don't say anything about our suspicions until after we talk to her husband.
Yeah, and let him think he's put it over on us, huh? And I'll have the autopsy performed as soon as we get back to town.
Yeah, but you'll need the husband's permission, won't you? And he'll never give it if he's guilty.
You got something there, Miss Bowen.
Well, nevertheless, let's try it anyway. Maybe we can learn something from his reaction when we suggest that autopsy.
An autopsy, nothing doing. Kay suffered enough already.
Just a minute, Bolton. Kay was my sister as well as your wife. And if the chief thinks an autopsy would serve any useful purpose, I'm in favor of
it. But what useful purpose?
An autopsy would show whether there was anything in her system that would make her unconscious.
What difference does it make? She's dead. Autopsy won't bring her back.
Did she have any insurance, Mr. Bolton?
Yes, we had a joint policy for $20,000 payable to the survivor.
And this farm, who gets that?
I don't know. We never discussed it.
Well, you get it, Bolton.
Huh?
Kay wrote me she'd made a new will after she married you, leaving you everything.
I didn't know. Well, there won't be any autopsy, and that's final.
As Kay's brother, I have something to say about that. And if there's any suspicion that her death wasn't accidental... You have any reason to think that, Mr. McEwen?
Well, why else would you want an autopsy? And why would you want to know who benefits by her death? If there's any doubt, I want it cleared up. And you should too, Bolton.
Well, I do, Mac, of course, but...
Well, then just sign this paper, giving your consent.
Very well. Give it here.
Here you are.
Mr. Bolton, I don't like to butt in, but I can't find the housekeeper.
Well, she went to her room, Sam. She's all upset.
Oh. Well, Mr. Mac, that 5 gallons of ice cream Mr. Bolton got for the party tomorrow, she didn't put in the deep freeze, and it's all melted. I was wondering...
Throw it out. Do anything you want with it. Only get out of here and go back to your work.
Yes, sir.
Who's that, Chief?
That's Sam Webb, the hired hand.
What you doing here, Chief? Ain't nothing wrong, is there?
Yes, Sam. It's Mrs. Bolton. She's dead.
No. Wrecked the car, did she?
What makes you think that?
Huh? Just the first thing that popped into my head, I guess. Besides, I thought she wasn't in no condition to drive when she came out to the barn and drove off.
What? You mean she was ill?
Oh, no, ma'am. She was mad. Blazing mad, if you ask me. Folks can't keep their mind on their driving when they're like that.
What were you doing in the barn? I thought I told you to mend that fence at the bottom of the west pasture.
Well, I finished up early, Mr. Bolton. So I thought I'd clean out the stalls and do some repairing. I was there when you come in.
Sam, did Mrs. Bolton tell you what she was angry about?
No, sir, but she was good and mad.
Oh, it wasn't anything, Mr. Carter. Bolton was late getting back with the car, and Kay had an appointment in Elm City. She was mad because she was going to be late.
I couldn't help being late. I was delayed.
Was there a quarrel, Mr. Bolton?
Of course not. Kay was always flying off the handle, but it didn't mean anything. I sent Mac out to the car for the rest of the supplies I'd brought back while I tried to talk her out of it, but I couldn't.
I see. Well, thanks for giving your consent to the autopsy, Mr. Bolton. May answer some very important questions.
Oh, good morning.
Hello, Carter. Miss Bowen.
Hello.
Oh, gosh, what a night. I was down at the Blaine garage till 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, did the mechanic find anything suspicious?
Well, the car was smashed up pretty bad, but he swears the wreck didn't affect nothing that could have caused the accident.
Well, did he check the steering gear, the brakes?
And the muffler, too. Nothing had been tampered with.
And the autopsy showed absolutely no trace of carbon monoxide in her lungs or blood. No other poisonous gas, for that matter.
And she wasn't drugged, either.
I guess we was wrong about Bolton doing it. Maybe she did fall asleep at the wheel.
No, I doubt that, Chief.
Anyone who was as upset and angry as Sam said Mrs. Bolton was just wouldn't doze off.
Are you still trying to make out it was more than an accident, are you?
Oh, we're sure it was.
Well, now, if Bolton caused that wreck without tampering with the car and without drugging her in any way, he's committed a perfect crime. A murder without a single clue.
I wouldn't say that, Chief. Every unexplained fact is a clue. And there are several in this case.
Such as what?
Well, why was Sam so sure she'd been killed in an auto wreck? Why should her dying words have been about murder for insurance? And why was she driving with the heater turned on?
Okay, if you're looking for unexplained facts, what about the ice cream?
Well, what about it?
Well, now, Bolton brought that back from town at 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And when we was there at 7:30, it was all melted, according to Sam.
Oh, well, that's only natural. The housekeeper forgot to put it in the deep freeze.
Miss Bowen, we get them 5-gallon containers of ice cream for picnics and such. We get them early in the morning. And they're still as hard as a rock when we eat supper.
By George, that's it.
Huh?
Huh? Well, what's what?
That's what killed Mrs. Bolton. The weapon that vanished into thin air.
Vanished?
Literally and completely, without leaving a trace.
Well, then there's no way of proving it, is there?
Not unless we can get a confession. And anybody smart enough to think of a scheme like that won't be easily bluffed.
Now, look, Carter, where would you get a weapon that would vanish that way?
At your local creamery, just as Bolton did.
Oh, Nick, you're not saying that Mrs. Bolton was murdered with 5 gallons of ice cream?
No. If it wasn't for that ice cream, she'd be alive right now.
Oh, Nick.
Come on, let's drive out to the farm. Now I've got something to work on.
Why, no, Carter. I carried that container of ice cream into the house from the car without opening it.
But Bolton...
Yes, McEwen, were you going to say something?
Well, only that when I went through the kitchen to get the other things out of the car... I noticed that the seal on the container was broken.
Well, I didn't break it. Perhaps the housekeeper...
No, Mr. Bolton, I asked her. She was upstairs at the time.
Well, what's the ice cream got to do with it anyway, Mr. Carter?
Plenty, McEwen. Those 5-gallon containers are in 2 sections. One for the ice cream itself, and one that holds dry ice to keep it from melting.
So what?
Did you ever notice how drowsy you get in the crowded room where the air is stale?
Well, sure. That's because the oxygen in the air has been used up.
And replaced with carbon dioxide, which people have exhaled. That's what happens when we breathe.
Well, come to the point, Carter.
All right, I will. When I examined your car just after the wreck, Mr. Bolton, I found a few small pieces of dry ice in the heater. Dry ice is nothing but carbon dioxide in a solid form. In the heater of your wife's car, it melted fast and flooded the car with carbon dioxide.
And with all the windows closed, it must have been 10 times as bad as the most crowded, stuffy room you ever saw.
And that's why she went to sleep at the wheel.
That's fantastic. You think somebody took the dry ice out of that ice cream container and put it in the heater of the car to
make her wreck the car and kill herself. Yeah, Mr. Bolton, that's exactly what we think.
Then it must have been Mac.
Why, that's a lie.
You went through the kitchen when I left the ice cream and then went out to the car for the rest of the things. You must have opened the package and...
Are you accusing me of murdering my own sister?
It had to be you. Nobody else could have done it.
No? Well, who got her to take out that insurance policy?
Huh?
Who inherits this farm and everything else she owns?
That doesn't mean...
I don't get anything out of her death, and I don't want to. But you get
now,
plenty.
Now, calm down, I'll bet... Mac. Calm down.
She
calm
was all
down.
I had. And he killed her. He killed her.
I did not. You did it yourself. And now you're trying
all
to...
Right, all right, all right.
Necessary.
Hold it. I know how we can find out who put that dry ice in the heater.
How?
Ask Sam, your hired man.
Sam? What would he know about it?
He was in the barn from the time you drove in with the ice cream, Mr. Bolton, until your wife left about 10 minutes later. Dry ice melts fast, very fast. To be effective, it'd have to be put in sometime during that 10 minutes.
Sure. You're right, Mr. Carter. Sam must have seen him putting that stuff in the heater. That's why he figured Kay was killed in a wreck.
Yeah, maybe he didn't think nothing of it at the time, but afterwards he realized what he saw. And then maybe he figured he could get paid for not talking.
Well, he'll talk now. He'll talk or I'll break him in two.
All right, no, McHugh. And you and Bolton will stay here with the chief. Patsy and I'll go talk with Sam. And after we do, Chief, I think you'll have a new boarder at the county jail.
Nick, you didn't really find any dry ease in the heater of that car, did you?
Why, of course not, Patsy. I told you I'd have to bluff.
Yeah, but if Sam did see something, it won't be a bluff any longer.
Oh, yes, it will. You may have seen something, but he couldn't tell what was actually going on inside the car from back in the stalls where he was working.
No, I guess not.
But maybe we can use Sam's testimony to frighten the killer into giving himself away. Oh, here, this must be Sam's shack.
Uh-huh. He must be here. We know he's nowhere else on the farm.
Yeah. Let's see if the door's locked. No,
No, it isn't. Come on in.
Right. Oh, Nick, look. They're on the floor.
Oh, that's Sam.
Nick, he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah. Shot through the head. Probably sometime last night. Look around the floor. See if you can find an empty cartridge.
Right.
He was killed with an automatic. There's a chance the empty shell's on the floor somewhere.
Well, if it is, I'll find it.
Here. Here's something.
What is it?
Somebody knelt down beside the body. There's a perfect knee print and a smear of blood. You can even see the weave of the material the trousers were made of. Some sort of coarse tweed.
Nick, I found it.
The cartridge shell?
Yes, it was under the table. Here.
Huh. Now we can really get down to business.
Yes, this time we've got a weapon that can't vanish into thin air.
An empty cartridge case, the first bit of concrete evidence the wife killer has left in a series of five murders. But Nick still faces the problem of proving his guilt. We'll see what happens in just a moment. An important announcement. Coming next week on Nick Carter, Old Dutch Cleanser's big new contest. Listen so you can get an early start in this easy, fascinating contest that pays off with loads of valuable prizes. And remember, we've activated Seismitite in Old Dutch Cleanser. Its amazing sudsing action sweeps away dirt and stains, cuts grease on contact, cleans fast, safe, sure, leaves no gritty sediment, rinses away completely, saves you time and work, helps you keep your house at its shining best. New sudsing Old Dutch Cleanser is at your grocer's now in the same familiar package. Get two cans tomorrow, one for the kitchen, one for the bathroom. Old Dutch Cleanser, the only cleanser made with activated Seismitite. Now, back to The Case of the Vanishing Weapon. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by Old Dutch Cleanser. At the farmhouse, Nick and the chief are trying to find the automatic with which Sam Webb, the Bolton's hired hand, was killed. Mac has admitted owning such a gun, and they've gone to his room to get it.
There you are, Mr. Carter. But I swear I haven't touched that gun since I came back 2 weeks ago.
Did Bolton know where you kept it, Mac?
Well, I don't know, Chief, but it wouldn't have been hard to find.
I didn't even know he had a gun.
Well, this is a .38. Sam was killed with a .32.
A .32? Then Bolton must have used Kay's gun.
What are you talking about? Kay didn't own a gun.
Why, you're a liar. She had a .32 automatic for years, kept at her bedside table, and you know it.
That's not true. You can come and look for yourself, Chief. Our room is right across the hall. But she won't find any gun there.
Well, don't expect to, not now.
Oh, here's your gun, McEwen.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Carter. But Kay did have a gun. Charlie must have seen it hundreds of times.
Don't worry. We'll get at the truth.
There, look for yourself. Do you see a gun in that drawer? Kay wouldn't have a gun in the house.
All right, let's forget about that for a minute. Who owns a tweed suit?
A tweed suit, Mr. Carter? Why?
We found evidence proving that Sam's killer was wearing a suit of coarse tweed at the time of the murder. You have one?
Why, no.
Neither do I.
Well, you shouldn't have said that, Bolton. I've seen you wearing a tweed suit 100 times.
Well, I did have a tweed suit, but Kay gave it away last week. It was worn out.
Who'd she give it to?
I don't know. She didn't
Why,
say...
Why, Bolton, I saw that suit hanging in your closet only yesterday. I'll bet it's there right now. Well, it's gone.
Naturally.
Of course it is. Any fool would know enough to get rid of a piece of evidence like that.
I tell you, I haven't had it for over a week.
Wait a minute. You went down in the cellar carrying a bundle this morning, Bolton.
That was the garbage.
Mrs. Lawrence always puts the garbage in a paper bag. The bundle you had was wrapped in newspaper.
It was not. It was a paper bag.
And then I heard the furnace door.
I always burn the garbage in the furnace. You know that.
Bolton, suppose we take a look in that furnace and see what else you was burning.
Here's another scrap of tweed that didn't burn.
That's part of your suit, ain't it, Bolton?
Yes, but I didn't put it there. Mac did it. He's framing me.
Oh, sure.
He is, I tell you. Everything you found could have been done by him, couldn't it? He could have put that dry ice in the car heater as well as me. He could have shot Sam and put that suit in the furnace.
And wore the suit to kill Sam, too, I guess. Why, you blame fool. Anybody can see that Mac couldn't get into your clothes with a shoehorn. He's twice as big as you are.
And I never owned a tweed suit in my life.
Anyway, the knee print by Sam's body had exactly the same weave as this tweed that was burned in the furnace.
Hey, wait a minute.
Did you find something else, Nick?
I'll say I did, down among the ashes. Look.
That's it.
That's Kay's gun.
I never saw that gun before in all my life.
Any fingerprints on it, Carter? Afraid not, Chief. The whole outside is burned clean.
Yes, but a ballistics test will show if it's the gun that Sam was killed with. Won't it, Nick?
Without a doubt.
Even if it's the same gun, that doesn't prove anything.
Well, here's something that does, Bolton. A perfect set of fingerprints.
Prints? Well, I thought you said the gun was burned clean.
The outside was, yes. But there's a fine set here on the cartridge clip. I thought they might have been overlooked.
That's smart thinking, Carter.
Well, how come the cartridges didn't explode in the fire, Nick?
The clip's empty, Patsy.
Oh.
But the prints are nice and clear.
They're not my prints. I never saw that gun.
Yeah? Well, now, I'll just take that clip over to the county seat and let the fingerprint man there have a look at him.
Oh, if you don't mind, Chief, I'd rather take this to the fingerprint lab in the city.
Huh? What's the matter with Joe Parker over the county seat?
Well, he may be perfectly all right, but... Well, look, let me have my own way, will you, please? I'll stay at the hotel in Elm City tonight, drive into the city tomorrow, and have a report you can depend on before tomorrow evening.
Okay, keep the blame clip. And you, Bolton, come on. I'm locking you up where you can't get out to commit no more murders.
Who's there? Who's in the room? Who is it?
Don't move, Mr. Carter. You're a fine target under that bed lamp.
McEwen? What are you doing here?
I came to get something that belongs to me. That clip with the fingerprints on it.
What? And those are your prints. Bolton was telling the truth. You killed Sam.
Sure I did. I couldn't let him tell about seeing me put that dry ice in the heater of Kay's car, could I? And he said he had been in the barn at the time. I had to get rid of him.
And all the evidence against Bolton. You planted it yourself.
Why not? Somebody had to be the patsy. And I could see you suspected him already. Nobody knew I had that .32. So I said it belonged to Kay. And who can prove that it didn't?
And you planted it in the furnace for us to find, together with a tweed suit.
Sure. That suit was the smartest part of the whole frame-up. Kay gave it to Sam. It was hanging right there in front of me when I shot him.
But you couldn't have worn it. It was too small for you.
No, but I could wrap it around my knee and then make a print in that bloodstain, couldn't I? Didn't tell you I saw Bolton trying to burn it.
You thought of everything, didn't you?
Everything but that cartridge clip with my fingerprints on it. Where is it, Carter? Or do I put a bullet in your head?
All right, you win. It's in the left-hand top dresser drawer, wrapped in a handkerchief.
Yeah? Thanks for making it easy. First, we'll wipe these prints out. And then, Mr. Carter, I'm afraid I'll have to get rid of you.
And now, hold on, McEwen. You've destroyed the proof against you, and I let it go at that.
I can't let you talk about this little visit.
Look, McEwen, don't...
Shut up. I said I was going to get rid of you, and I am. So...
As Mac points his gun at Nick's head and pulls the trigger, he stands only a few feet away, too close to miss. We'll see what happens in just a moment. Here's a wash day tip. Keep your washer sparkling clean inside and out with wonderful new Sudsing Old Dutch Cleanser. Yes, a touch of Old Dutch Cleanser cuts grease on contact, sweeps away dirt and stains almost like magic. You'll be amazed at the new Sudsing action of Old Dutch Cleanser. Snowy white, leaves no gritty sediment, rinses away completely. It's been granted the Good Housekeeping Seal. Yes, ladies, for faster, easier cleaning than you've dreamed possible, switch to new Sudsing Old Dutch Cleanser, the only cleanser made with activated seismatite. And next week, Old Dutch Cleanser's wonderful new contest starts. Easy to enter, easy to win. It's loads of fun with loads of valuable prizes. Hear all about this sensational new contest and how you may win next week on Nick Carter. Now for the conclusion of The Case of the Vanishing Weapon. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new, wonderful Old Dutch Cleanser. In Nick's hotel room, he faces a killer with a gun who says...
I said I was going to get rid of you, and I am. So...
Oh! You had a gun all the time under the bedclothes.
Sorry, Mac. I tried to warn you.
Nick, are you all right?
I'm okay, Patsy. But our friend here has a bullet in his arm. Come on in.
Put your girl down a shorthand, Nick. The microphone picked up every word he said.
This was a trap?
You bet it was. See, I expected you to come for that cartridge clip.
If my gun hadn't jammed...
It didn't jam. I took all the bullets out of it when I examined it out at the farmhouse today. But I couldn't be sure you hadn't discovered that and reloaded it, so I had to shoot first.
What's the matter in there? Who fired that gun? What's going on?
Everything's under control. Call the chief of police, will you?
Sure, Mr. Carter, sure. I'll get him here in 2 shakes.
Where's your proof, Carter? My fingerprints aren't on the cartridge clip anymore.
Your confession before 2 witnesses is proof enough, McEwen. And as for those fingerprints, I was bluffing you.
Why, you...
So far as I know, there weren't any prints on that clip.
Nick, how did you know Wayne McEwen killed his sister and Sam Webb?
Well, I was pretty sure of it from the moment we found out how McEwen's sister was killed.
Done that.
Mm-hmm. Furthermore, every bit of evidence we had against Bolton came directly from McEwen.
Chief, did you find out why he killed his sister?
Yeah, he told us all about it at the jailhouse. Seems his bridge-building business ain't been so good these last few years, so McEwen drummed up a sideline of getting married and then killing off his wives for their insurance.
Oh, then he was the one Mrs. Bolton was talking about just before she died.
Right, Patsy.
Yeah, but how'd she ever find out about this?
McEwen says she was cleaning up his room the day before she was killed, and she came across some of his private papers that he'd forgotten to put away.
Uh-huh.
She didn't know he'd been married at all, so when she found a marriage certificate, she got curious.
Oh.
And what she found in the rest of the stuff gave her a pretty good idea of what'd been going on.
Then that night she accused him of killing the 2 girls, and he admitted it. When he asked her what she was going to do about it, she said she hadn't made up her mind.
Well, if I'd been in her place, I'd have turned him over to the police.
Oh, she wanted to, Miss Bowen, but he was her only brother, and she couldn't quite make up her mind to do it.
But Mac didn't dare to take any chances, so... He killed her.
Yeah, he was pretty clever about it, too. He almost got away with it.
Yeah, but when he killed Sam, he outsmarted himself.
Well, you know the old saying, Nick, give a killer enough rope and he'll hang himself.
So he will, Patsy. So he will. Every time.
Well, Nick, that's the last of them.
Okay, Patsy, that's all for now. You better go home and change. Remember, we're meeting Bill and his wife at 7:30 for dinner.
Well, how about after dinner? I want to know how to dress.
Well, Bill said something about taking in an amusement park and ending up with a boat ride on the river in the morning.
Oh, hold on. Take it easy, Carter.
Hey, for heaven's sake, Patsy.
Amusement park, boat rides, redheads, penicillin.
Okay, I get it.
I don't want to end up at the bottom of the river just because the ticket seller was a beautiful redhead who posed as a
monster. Hey, hold on, Patsy. Let's tell about that adventure next week. We'll call it The Case of the Purloined Penicillin.
Ladies, have you discovered Delrich margarine? Delicious, rich Delrich makes friends at first taste. Full-flavored, it's the perfect spread for bread, rolls, toast. Try Delrich in your cooking and baking, too. Mighty good, mighty economical. Only Delrich gives you the original Easy Color Pack, the easy, modern way to color margarine. And, where state laws permit, ask for Delrich in golden yellow quarters. Delrich, America's new favorite. Del for delicious, rich for rich full flavor. Get Delrich margarine tomorrow, for Delrich makes friends at first taste. Nick Carter, Master Detective, is presented each week at this same time by the Cudahy Packing Company. It is produced and directed by Jock McGregor and is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. Lon Clark is starred as Nick and Charlotte Manson is featured as Patsy. Today's script was written by Jim Parsons with original music played by Henry Silburn. This program is fictional and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This is Michael Fitzmaurice saying, when minutes count, use new, wonderful Old Dutch Cleanser.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Serenade Macabre. Yes, we have that story for you. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The manuscript is on this shelf. Here it is. Serenade Macabre. A very exciting story of a circus in which the last performance was given by death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It is 2 o'clock in the morning, and on the outskirts of the town where the tents have been set up and the red and gold wagons moored, the circus is asleep. A succession of shadows in the moonlight. Quiet. Peaceful. Except for the occasional roar of protest that comes from the throat of Sultan, the untrained lion that Victor Parnell had vowed he would break. And except for the movements of two people, Louise Parnell and Roy Turner.
Come on, come on. There's the training tent.
Roy?
We'll never have to worry about Victor again when Sultan gets through with him tomorrow morning. Oh. What's the matter?
Nothing. I dropped the bottle of glue.
Did it break?
No.
God. Now listen, kid. You gotta pull yourself together. We'll never get another chance.
I can't help it, Roy. I'm frightened.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
What if we should get caught? What if somebody should see us?
I tell you, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Jim Harkness, the night watchman.
He doesn't get to this point till 3 o'clock.
Well, suppose he should decide to change.
For Pete's sake, will you relax? I'm the owner of the circus. I set up the schedule for him.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
He's gonna be our best friend tomorrow. Come on. We're only about 10 feet in the tent. The whole job won't take more than a couple of minutes.
You know, it's murder, Rowan.
So?
The idea of having Victor ripped to pieces by a lion.
You want to get rid of him, don't you?
I could ask him again to give me the board. Maybe if I keep after him.
Duck into the tent.
Roy. Roy, that...
Get in there.
That's Jim Harkness.
Quiet.
You said he wouldn't be here until 3 o'clock. He's going to see us and he's going to tell Victor. Oh, he mustn't see us. If you've got to kill him, he mustn't see us.
That's all right, kid. He didn't look in.
Maybe he saw us. Maybe he recognized you and decided not to. Roy, let's forget about it.
Are you out of your mind?
Please. I've got a feeling it's not going to work out.
Do you want to marry me?
Oh, you know I do.
Then let's not forget about it. Give me the key to the train, kid. The key, Louise.
There's no other way?
Not if we're going to get married, babe.
All right.
Hold the flashlight.
I took this off his key ring while he was asleep.
Mm. Good thing he was drunk tonight. Swing the light around. Ah, yeah, there's the chair. Now we get to work with the saw.
The police are going to know it's murder, Roy. No chair comes apart in a lion trainer's hand, not even when it's clawed.
Yeah, one leg off. Now we'll go to work in leg number two.
They've got to be strong.
Yeah.
The police will suspect me, Roy.
They'll suspect Tom Doyle.
He hasn't got a key to this cage.
He was mad enough to steal it. Victor gave him the whip this afternoon for not feeding the cats on time.
Oh,
this is simple, kid. 2 legs and a gluing job to go, and by noon tomorrow... you hear that, babe? That's Sultan telling you that by noon tomorrow you'll be a widow. There's your wagon, Louise. I'm turning off here.
All right, Roy.
I'll bury the saw and the bottle of glue under the wagon that Tom Doyle's in. And we got nothing to worry about.
I hope you're right. I love you very much.
Yeah. I don't have to tell you how I feel about you. Good night, Lisa.
Good night. Shut
Shut up, you ugly beast. Shut up. Oh, good heavens.
You're on the line, Louise.
Victor.
What'd you expect to find? The Maharaja, the circus?
I thought you were asleep.
I was. Put the light on.
I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
And I feel like talking. Well, Louise, will I have to get up and put the light on, or will you do it?
I'll do it.
That's better. Now, come here.
Victor, whatever it is you want to say, can't it wait?
You never ask Roy Turner to wait, do you? Of course, he's the boss. The guy who inherited the circus and doesn't know what to do with it. So he keeps busy going after my wife.
Please.
Did he tell you tonight how beautiful you are?
I didn't see him. I heard Sultan kicking up a row, so I went down to see what's the matter. Stop it, will you? I'm telling you the truth.
Well, what's the matter, Louise? You're usually a lot calmer than this.
Oh, I'm sick and tired of having you suspect every move I make.
Since when?
You can't turn your back on me without... Shut up!
Is Sultan getting on your nerves, too?
I can't stand him all day and all night. The cat never sleeps. Victor, I want you to get rid of him.
Sure.
Send him back to the jungle. Kill him. Do anything, but get rid of him.
He cost me a small fortune, Louise.
I don't care. You've got other lions.
Well, he'll be great for my new act.
You'll never break him, Victor. That's one cat that'll never take orders from you.
And I say he will.
You're wrong. You've been trying for weeks and you... Listen, Victor. Kill him tomorrow morning. The first thing tomorrow morning.
I want him for my new act, Louise.
Don't do any more work on him. Don't get into that training cage with him again.
Uh-huh. This is a new twist from you.
I've never asked you to quit breaking a cat before. But this time I know. It can't be done.
Are you afraid of what might happen to me?
He'll kill you one of these days.
That shouldn't bother you.
I don't want you to die.
Well, that calls for a celebration. And a kiss.
No, Victor.
Why not?
Please, leave me alone.
I always told you had a beautiful mouth.
Let me go. Let me go.
Let's see how it looks when it's bleeding. Now, turn out that light and go to bed. I've got a big day tomorrow with Sultan. It doesn't seem to bother you this morning, Louise.
I'm getting used to it.
Doesn't take long when you start hoping, does it?
I warned you, if you ever hit me
Tell
again...
Tell that to Sultan. He might decide to help you. Yes, who is it?
It's me, Mr. Parnell, Jim Hartman.
What do you want?
The boss wants to know if you're going to work in that line today.
Just a minute.
Mr. Turner sent me to ask you if you were going...
Why?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Parnell. He didn't tell me. Morning, Mrs. Parnell.
Good morning, Jim.
That cat was howling all night. Sort of gave me the willies. He ain't like the other cats.
He will be. Tell Roy Turner I'll go to work when I'm ready.
Okay.
And tell him I don't want anybody in the training tent when I'm working.
You going to tackle that lion all alone, Mr. Parnell?
Oh, Roy can be there if he wants to. And Louise, of course.
But Mr. Turner don't know nothing about lions, sir. Why, if that big fella should get frisky...
You heard what I said, Jim. Now, go ahead and do it.
Okay. I'm only the night watchman. But if I was in that training cage with that cat, I'd want a lot of people all around with long sticks. Yes, sir. All around.
He's right, Victor.
I'm running my own show, Louise. Finish the coffee and let's get out of here.
In a minute.
Now. You can put your face on later. Roy won't mind seeing you without makeup.
I want you to stop talking about him.
Here's the gun, baby.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not loaded with real bullets, huh? Instead of blanks.
It's too bad. But maybe it won't make any difference to you.
You can take orders like the rest of them, can't you, Roy?
This is your department, Victor. If you don't want anybody around when you're working, it's okay with me. But you're a darn fool.
It's an old habit, pal. Listen to him. He thinks he's still the king. Well, we're going to show him he isn't. Aren't we, Louise?
We?
Sure. You're still my wife, aren't you?
She's not going in that cage with you, Victor.
Here's the key, baby. Open it up.
No.
All right, then. I'll open it up. I'm ready, dear. Come on.
Get out of here, Louise. I'll take care of this lunatic. Put down that whip, Victor.
Sure, right up.
across.
I said it. Nick, put it down. You're going into that cage alone.
No.
Alone.
Victor.
And that's where you're going to stay. I got your keys.
Let me out of here, Roy. That cat will kill me.
Louise, get in the Sultan's tent and open the cage door to the tunnel.
Roy.
Go on before somebody looks in here.
Louise, don't. You and Roy weren't here last night. You spoiled something.
Roy, no.
The key was not where I keep it on the ring. Let me out, will you? I was only kidding about asking you to come in here with me. I wasn't going in
myself. Get out, Louise. You're wasting time.
Louise, I'll give you a divorce. You can marry Roy. I'll do anything you want. Just let me out of here.
I don't believe you, Victor. I don't believe
Good
you.
Good grief, Louise.
Victor, just you and me now.
Roy, you've got to listen.
In a couple of minutes, it'll be just you and Sultan. Grant that chair. I'm going to open the trap door.
Roy, I'll listen to reason. Don't open that trap door. I meant it about the divorce.
Grab the chair, Victor.
Close it. Give me a break. I'll never bother you and Louise
Better
again.
Better get set for company, Victor. Your friends should be here any second. Yeah, battle cry of freedom.
He's in the tunnel, and the trap door is open.
Goodbye, Victor.
The chair. Maybe I can hold him off. Maybe I can drive him back into the tunnel.
And you keep him there.
You and Louise spoiled something in here last night. I don't know what it is, but... Sawdust. You saw the legs off the chair. He broke the chair. Roy! Roy! Get help! Help!
That's the whole story, Captain Williams. The chair broke in Victor's hand, and before Louise and I realized what had happened, Sultan had knocked Victor down.
Go ahead, Mr. Turner.
Oh, the most horrible thing I ever saw, that animal tearing at Victor as if...
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Louise, but the police want the facts.
All of them, Mr. Turner. What did you and Mrs. Parnell do while the lion was working on her husband?
Well, there wasn't much we could do, Captain. Louise and I were alone in the training tent. Louise had a gun, but it was loaded with blank cartridges.
Alone, huh? I thought lion trainers never got into a cage unless there was a lot of protection around.
Well, Victor didn't like crowds.
Is that so? That's pretty unusual for a circus performer.
Well, he didn't like him when he was breaking a cat. You can ask anybody outside this office, all the people working for me.
I will, Mr. Turner, when I get around to them. How did you get that animal off, Mr. Turner?
I opened the trap door of the tunnel. And Louise fired the blanks in her gun. The noise frightened himself.
No real bullets?
Lions are expensive, Captain Williams.
But lion trainers aren't.
Sultan was my husband's property, Captain. Victor made the rules, and I kept them.
Uh-huh. Are you feeling better now, Mrs. Parnell?
A little.
Good. I've got a couple of questions for you.
Who fixed
it for that lion to kill your husband?
I can't be sure, Captain, but I think it was...
Yeah?
Go on, Louise. The police and I have a right to know who you suspect.
Well, I haven't any proof, but I...
Yeah?
Boy, I think it was Tom Doyle who sawed that chair and glued the legs on again.
The man who'd been feeding the lion?
Yes. You remember what happened yesterday afternoon?
Well, Victor beat him up.
With his whip. And all because Tom didn't feed the cats on time.
Oh, but Louise, that's no reason for murder.
I'm not accusing him, Roy. But late last night, Victor came back to the wagon drunk. He'd gone to town after the show.
Oh, yeah.
What's that got to do with Tom Doyle, Mrs. Parnell?
You see, Captain, there's only one key to the training cage, and Victor always kept it on a ring in his pocket.
Yes?
He was very superstitious about training the cats. He felt that anyone else in that cage at any time might bring bad luck.
That's right, Captain. There's a bug we couldn't shake out of his head.
Just keep going, Mrs. Parnell.
Well, when Victor came back from town, he was very drunk. But he was also very upset. He'd lost the keys.
Happened this morning, didn't he?
Yes. I found them last night outside the training tent.
Oh?
Victor was raving mad because he'd lost them, and I had to go out and look for them. As I got near the training tent, I saw Tom Doyle sneaking away around the tent. And I found the key.
Well, Louise, are you sure it was Tom Doyle?
Yes, Roy. He was carrying something under one arm.
A saw?
I couldn't tell, Captain. But I looked inside the tent. Everything was in order.
Do you think Tom Doyle swiped those keys?
Please, Captain, I'm not trying to build up a case against the man. I'm only telling you what I saw.
Come in.
Excuse me, Captain.
What is it, Ralph?
The boys dug up these two items, sir.
Saw.
They were buried under a wagon the three guys live in.
Which three guys, Ralph?
Joe Smith, Pete Frenzy, and Tom Doyle.
Where's Tom Doyle?
Him and the other two are in the wagon. Under guard.
All right, we'll go have a talk with him.
I'd like to go with you, Captain.
Sure, come along, Mr. Turner. You want to join the party too, Mrs. Parnell?
Oh, I don't think you ought to, Louise. Why don't you go to your bungalow wagon and later?
All right, boy.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Turner, when I got to the scene of the murder, I found you and Mrs. Parnell in the training cage with the body of her husband.
Sure. We thought he might still be alive.
How would you get in if Mr. Parnell had the only key?
He gave it to me. Just in case.
Let's go, Ralph. You can come along, Mr. Turner, if you still want to. But remember, you listen while I ask the question.
I told you there was nothing to worry about, babe.
But that Captain Williams, did he believe us?
He didn't believe Tom Doyle, kid. The perfect fall guy.
Roy.
Yeah, the Lummox had no alibi for last night, so they took him away.
Then we're in the clear?
Without break. Come here.
Why not?
You gave a perfect performance for Captain Williams. How about giving one for me?
Thank heavens I don't have to convince you.
Don't kid yourself, Toots. When it comes to love, I want all the convincing you can give.
Mrs. Darling. How is that?
Great. As a sample. Now...
Don't rush me, dear. It's been only 3 hours since I became a widow.
Well, babe, you'll even look better.
We'll have to be very careful, Roy.
What do you mean?
No marriage until we're far away from this town.
Oh, I had that figured out, too, Louise. So that you have to have nothing to worry about with me.
What's this?
Partnership agreement. I'm giving you a 50% interest in the circus.
Roy.
Don't crowd me yet, honey. I'm not through.
What?
You get my 50% too if I should die.
Oh, you darling. I don't need all this insurance. I wouldn't want it without you.
Hey, here's the catch, sweetheart. I don't expect to die.
Oh, you idiot.
Now, come here. How about some more convincing?
Oh, okay.
Come on, Louise. I'm waiting.
Not now, Roy.
What's the matter?
Listen.
What for?
That whistling. I can't stand it, Roy. Ever since last night when Jim Hartman passed the training.
Will you snap out of it?
I'm going to be sure he didn't see us.
He didn't tell Captain Williams, did he?
I just can't seem to get it out of my mind. Roy, we'll have to do something about Jim.
Wait a minute. He's been with the circus for years. I practically inherited...
Well, I don't want him around.
Okay. But believe me, kid, you're making a big fuss about... Come in. What do you want, Jim? Answer me when I talk to you.
I noticed the Sultan stopped complaining after he chewed up Victor. We ain't heard a peep out of him since.
Get out of here, Jim.
Well, that ain't a nice way to talk to a business associate, ma'am.
Business associate.
Shut up, Roy. Louise. What do you mean, Jim?
She knows what I mean, Roy.
I'm Mr. Turner to you.
Not anymore, Roy. I'm not working for you anymore.
You're quitting?
I'm tired of being a night watchman. For a guy like me that used to be a star tumbler, keeping tabs on a bunch of tents and animals, it ain't dignified, Roy. I'm retiring.
What's that got to do with me?
You're going to make my retirement worthwhile. You and Louise.
Jim, what do you want?
Louise, I told you to shut up.
Don't get mad at her, Roy. She's only trying to keep the rope off her neck. Tom Doyle ain't no killer, but I can tell the police who is.
Now, look here, Jim. If you got any bluffing to do...
I seen you and Louise in the training tent last night and heard you working with a saw.
Roy.
You don't know what you're talking about, Jim.
Maybe the cops would say different, huh?
You can't prove it, you dirty black mirror. It'll be your word against ours.
Yeah, but whose word's going to count more? I seen where you buried the saw and glue, Roy.
Why don't you tell that to police this morning?
Oh, with the police here.
What are you driving at?
I'm a night watchman. I work all night, and I'm supposed to sleep all day. I ain't seen the police yet.
Didn't they question you?
Well, I wasn't in my bunk all day. I just got back from a snooze in the park. You see what I mean?
Got us, Roy. Let's find out how much he wants.
Well, you don't have to ask me twice. $50,000.
$50,000?
I want a nice, comfortable retirement, Roy, and I want to start today. And think it over, but don't take too long.
You set up the perfect crime, didn't you? Tom Doyle is going to take the rap for us. Well, Roy, is he?
Well, for Pete's sake, will you leave me alone? You've been pounding at me for an hour. I can't think.
All I want you to tell me is, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Have you got $50,000 for Jim Parker?
I told you.
Have you or haven't you?
Suppose I have.
Are you going to give it to him?
Do you want me to?
I don't want him to go to the police.
It's about all the cash I have, Louise. If I give it
I don't want him to go to the police.
He'll be flat broke. We won't be able to pay salaries.
There'll be plenty of cash coming in.
But not enough to pay off, Louise. We'll be stranded.
Would you rather swing?
Maybe it'll never come to that.
Don't kid yourself. Jim goes to the police, we're through. We can't alibi ourselves out of his story. And we'll never get a chance to call him a blackmailer.
Why call him anything?
Oh, what's the matter with you? Does $50,000 mean so much to you?
Keeps us in business, Angel.
Well, it won't keep us together. Roy, darling, we want to be together, don't we?
Oh, sure.
We want to get married like other people in love. We committed a murder to get that, Roy.
And we won't lose it, kid.
We'll never get there if we take chances now.
I wasn't thinking of taking chances, Louise.
Then you'll give him the money?
No.
Roy!
I got other ideas that'll save us $50,000 and still take care of Jim Harkness.
No.
That's right.
You want Captain Williams back here?
Let him come.
Are you crazy? Another murder at this circus, Roy, while Tom Doyle's in prison. What happens to the case against him?
Nothing. What I got in mind won't be murder, officially.
Oh?
Oh, baby, you're gorgeous when your eyes sparkle.
Tell me what you've got in mind.
Come here, real close, huh? Jim's a pretty old guy.
So?
So he gets dizzy when he looks down from a height. So dizzy he falls down and gets all smashed at the bottom of a cliff.
Over by the river?
How'd you guess?
That's good, Roy. But how do we get him there?
We'll pull him with a $50,000 magnet.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, you don't? Well, then I'll have to tell you, because, kid, you're going to set the traps.
Jim, wake up. Wake up.
Hey, what's Louise.
Where are the other men who belong in this wagon?
They're out working. I was catching some wings.
I don't want them to find me talking to you. How soon are they coming back?
I never know. Sometimes they knock off for a swig. That can be any time. How about the money?
You'll have to wait until tonight.
Yeah?
Roy's got most of it now, but he's counting on the ticket sale to make up the difference.
I want a full $50,000, Louise.
You'll get it, you dirty blackmailer. Meet me in the park at the top of the hill.
What hill?
Haven't you ever been in this town before?
Well, this is the first time. Old man Turner never played this circuit when he ran the show.
Well, there's a hill just outside of town, a public park on top. Be there at 9:00.
Why up there, Louise?
Because Roy doesn't want to be seen talking to you.
Will you be there?
Yeah.
Okay, so will I. But if you got any notions, Louise...
Don't be a fool. I'm not going to kill you. Roy and I could do that any night if we wanted to. You're a night watchman. There's nobody around when you work.
So you thought of that, huh?
Well?
It's a date, Louise. And then, goodbye.
He's on time, all right, Louise.
Give me that package.
You got everything straight?
Yes, just the one. Open the package and I'll suggest that bench over there. He doesn't know about the cliff.
Now remember, keep his back to me.
I'll remember.
When I rush him, get out of the way. I don't want to push you over the cliff, too.
Now, he's pretty close, Roy. Better get behind the tree.
Now, no more talk.
Jim?
Yeah. Everything all set, Louise?
Yeah. Here's the package. It's got $50,000 in it.
Is it all here?
You can count it if you don't believe me.
You wouldn't lie to me, would you?
Open the package on that bench. It won't take you long to count it. Come on, I've got a flashlight.
Well, Jim?
I'll do that when I get back to my bunk.
Jim, you can save yourself a lot of time. There's no money in that package, just a wad of newspapers.
A trap,
there's
huh?
a cliff behind you, Jim. You're going to have an accident.
Look out, you don't have one first.
He's got a gun, Roy.
I'll take it away from
no.
him. I got nothing to lose, have I, Jim?
Stay away from me, Roy. I'll kill you.
Go ahead. I'm not staying away. I'm going to throw you off the cliff.
Maybe, but you're not making me back
off. One more step, Jim.
You're a murderer anyhow, and nobody's going to punish me for killing a murderer.
Your gun's jammed. Goodbye, Jill.
No!
Wait! Help! Help your hand, Louise!
Oh, it's too bad, Louise. You had your hand on his sweater and you couldn't hold him. Roy shouldn't have rushed at me, Louise. He should have remembered I used to be a tumbler. Well, it's a bad break for me. I just lost $50,000.
I'm back again, Mrs. Parnell.
Come in, Captain Williams. This has been a week of tragedy, hasn't it? My husband's murder and Roy's death last night. It's surprising. I've still got my sanity.
Let me see your hands.
My what?
Your hands.
I don't see what that's got to do with anything.
How did you break that fingernail?
Now, see here, Captain Williams.
I'll tell you. It got caught in Roy Turner's sweater when you pushed him off the cliff last night.
Have you gone out of your mind?
We found the part of the nail that belongs on the finger, Mrs. Parnell. And here's something else we found. Just read it, without putting your fingers on it. It's the carbon copy of a partnership agreement between you and Roy Turner. And it gives you his share of the business after his death.
Roy gave this to me without my asking for it. We were going to be married.
Yeah. Well, we're not holding Tom Doyle anymore. We've got you. And the worst that can happen to you is that you'll be tried for one murder and be executed once.
And so closes tonight's story, Serenade Macabre. Stedman Coles wrote the radio script. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Raymond Edward Johnson played Roy Turner. Joan Tompkins was Louise Parnell. Cameron Prudhomme was Jim Harkness. King Calder was heard as Victor Parnell. Joe Latham was Captain Williams. And Brad Barker was the Lion Sultan. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. Yes, we have the very exciting story of a man who tried to cheat life and was cheated out of it. It's called The Self-Made Corpse. In the meantime... Well, in the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. Stay tuned now for the thrilling adventure broadcast, Johnny Madero, Pier 23, which follows in just a moment. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's it for Case Closed this week. I hope you enjoyed the shows. You can find more from Nick Carter, Crime Club, past episodes of Case Closed, and all the other Relic Radio podcasts at RelicRadio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there. And our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.